Previously on Snicktoons. I was joined by returning special guest Kurt Schmidt, and he and I broke down the most recent episodes of X-Men the Animated Series, Sanctuary Parts 1 and 2. That was from X-Men the Animated Series Season 4, Episodes 3 and 4. So quite a long episode, big giant size episode, as we covered two episodes of X-Men the Animated Series, and it was a lot of fun. It's not really an adaptation of Fatal Attractions, but it does draw heavily from the early 90s post-Claremont X-Men. So it was kind of interesting to see that as an episode in X-Men the Animated Series, which up until this point had been so heavily inspired by Claremont himself. Of course, a lot of that storyline started with Claremont, so it's not like it was a brand new original thing, but still, it's a storyline that was kind of their own original story. So there you go. Of course, before that, Kurt and I did a breakdown, a comparison of our top fives, and we did a top five favorite X-Men characters that debuted in the 1990s, and there are some shockers on both lists. So if you haven't listened to last week's episode, go back and check it out. And of course, stay tuned as myself and a returning special guest host break down X-Men the Animated Series, Season 4, Episode 5, Xavier Remembers. All right, Bub, as you heard at the top of the show, I am back with a brand new special guest. Well, no, not brand new. I always do that. Returning special guest. I'm very excited to have this guy back on. He is a highly requested by listeners of the show to bring him back as a returning host because he is such a great podcaster. And that is my younger son, Landy. Welcome back to Snicktoons, buddy.
Hi, Bubs.
All right. So, Landy, let me ask you, man, because I like to ask all of my returning guests the big question, and that is what kind of X-Men stuff have you been up to lately?
Well, I've been watching X-Men, and so my brother and I have mostly been rebuilding our, making new, customs of different Spider-Men, but I've also been trying to work on rebuilding my Wolverine.
Oh, cool. Which Wolverine do you have?
I have the one that the mech set comes with. Oh, all nice. I need left is a blue hands.
Oh, blue hands. I bet you can probably find extra blue hands in your guys' vast Lego collection that that you'd be able to use.
Too bad I ain't taking apart all my guys from the Daily Bugle, because then I have all my pieces that I need.
Yeah, well, but you don't want to take any of your Daily Bugle stuff apart, because that set is amazing. So I recently shared to the Discord pictures of the Daily Bugle set, but we finally have it all built. What is your favorite part of your Daily Bugle set?
Well, I really think that it's cool when the Green Goblin's busting out of the window. But I know this sounds kind of weird, but I think my favorite part of that set must be the alley, though, because, it's just the set comes with so many minifigures that sometimes, you just can't find a place to put them, and you're just stuff them in the alley. Plus, I there's a sewer, and I put my Ninja Turtles there.
Oh, that's funny.
And, also, there's a back thing, and you know, Dad, how they have at the back of the building, they have, the backpack with all the webs keeping it on the wall?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my brother Maxon has been into the PS4 Spider-Man video game, and he asked a kid at school about it, and he says that they're like, well, actually it was his Game On book, but it says that there are like 50 backpacks to find throughout the world.
Oh, cool. So he likes that then, because it makes him think of the video game?
Yeah.
Nice. Of all the minifigures that you got in the Daily Bugle set, which one is your favorite? Which one that you didn't have already? Because I know that you already had a couple Peter Parker Spider-Mans, you had a couple Miles Morales Spider-Mans, you've already had like a Venom and a Doc Ock, but like of all the new minifigures, which one is your favorite?
I'd have to say Spider-Man. Just kidding. I've already had like 18.
Yeah.
Maybe Daredevil?
Ooh, excellent choice. Yeah, that Daredevil minifig is really, really cool. I wish that the Daily Bugle wasn't the only place that you can get Daredevil, because we can't get two Daily Bugles. That would be way too much.
Yeah, like $700.
Yeah, it would be a lot. I'm still saving all of my Lego gift cards, hoping that all these rumors about this upcoming X-Mansion set prove true, and that we get the X-Mansion set either sometime this summer or early next year. I think the rumors right now are indicating that the X-Mansion is going to be a set that comes out in 2024. Which makes sense. You know, we've got the X-Men 97 cartoon series set to debut fall of this year. And so I think by, this time next year, the X-Men are going to be pretty popular yet again. And they're going to be, you know, household names once again, thanks to X-Men 97. So they don't want to put the set out too early before it becomes well-known again. You know, they're going to want the set to sell. So you got to wait till everyone loves X-Men again.
Yeah, and of course, X-Men's also going to start becoming part of the MCU. Plus, it would be really cool if it comes with Iceman. I know it probably won't, but it would be really cool if it does, because from the Daily Bugle, I have two of the three amazing friends, because for some odd reason, they put in Firestar, but they didn't put in Iceman.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be awesome. Like I would want, so in the X-Mansion, I would want to have at least the five original X-Men, and then maybe the giant size team, at least the new ones from there. You know, we already have Wolverine and Storm, but like Nightcrawler and Colossus would be cool. And we don't have a Banshee Lego yet as well. So that would be pretty cool. And then if they don't do those, or like the 05, that I would at least want like the 90s team, you know, like Morph and Jubilee and the Rogue and Gambit, and I think that's it. Yeah,
and sometimes, of course, they do, like, if it's a very special set, they'll have like a random minifigure, like made of gold, not actual gold, but
right, yeah.
Or like at least has goldish things on him. So it'd be cool if they were, though, just did like Colossus when Colossus and Second Colossus, that's like Golden Colossus. Mm. Or if they did Wolverine with like gold claws, that would be really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes Lego does stuff like that. I know recently with the Star Wars line, they had done some of that where for like the 20th anniversary of the Lego line, they did like the original release, like re-releases of like the original minifigures that were old, you know, so it's still like the yellow heads and the yellow hands for like Han Solo and Leia and stuff.
Yeah, it's cool when they do that.
Yeah. All right. So other than a little bit of Lego stuff that you've been working on, is there any other X-Men stuff that you've been up to?
Yeah. Well, we watched the episode. I've actually been lately, ever since I got my Daily Bugle set, I've just been like, come on, Lego, just make Iceman already.
Yeah. Well, you've been playing a lot of your Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, right?
Oh, yeah, and I, except for, like, Gambit, I think, I have all of the alternate costumes, except for Magneto, though, because for some lame reason, he doesn't have an alternate costume.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, there's not really many alternate costumes they can give him, though, other than, like, if they wanted to give him, like, his long hair from Age of Apocalypse, or maybe I guess they're going to use, like, the one alternate costume he had from, like, issue 200, where it's, I think it's like a purple robe thing with like a red M on the chest, or maybe I might have the colors backwards, but either way. And like, that's the suit that he's going to wear in X-Men 97. They've actually released some of the screenshots of what the characters are going to look like. And that's the suit that he's going to be wearing in X-Men 97. So
I'm really looking forward to Iceman and Colossus actually being like part of the X-Men, because Colossus is my favorite X-Men, and like, I don't think Iceman is my second favorite, but he's up there. But like, Iceman's in one episode, technically, in Xavier Remembers too.
Yeah.
But like, he doesn't play a big role in that episode. And Colossus is only in two episodes, not including Xavier Remembers too. But like, Iceman's in more of Xavier Remembers than even Colossus.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Although we do get like two or three episodes with Colossus. But yeah, I mean, I'm all for, you know, adding more and more characters. There's so many great X-Men characters, especially ones that haven't been done in the series yet or haven't been given major roles in the series. Iceman, Colossus, I would think Nightcrawler is another big one that I would love to see a lot more of in the future. And I want to say like two or three of those guys are supposed to be like big members of the team. I would also like to see maybe more Psylocke and Archangel in the series as well. As well, you know, as well as Legos of those ones. So you mentioned, Landy, that when you're playing Ultimate Alliance 3, that you have a bunch of like extra costumes unlocked. So like, what are some of the characters you have, you know, some of the mutant related characters that you have unlocked, and what are some of their costumes?
Well, one of the costumes that like, sometimes I want to take off Old Man Logan for Wolverine, or take off AOA for Colossus. But one of the ones I never ever want to ever take off is Astonishing X-Men Cyclops.
Ooh, Astonishing costume, huh? I like that. That's a really great costume. Cyclops has had a lot of really great costumes over the years. But this actually kind of leads me into our topic that we chose for today, which is each you and I are going to rank our top three Wolverine costumes, and then just a ranking of like our five favorite non-Wolverine X-Men costumes. So why don't you, Landy, go ahead and kick us off? Why don't you walk us through your top three Wolverine costumes in the order of like 3, 2, and then 1?
Okay. So it's in about an hour-long walk. Just kidding. Yeah. Okay, so my favorite Wolverine costume is, I know this may be a surprise for all of you watching, but I think it may not be my favorite exactly, but I think the costume that Wolverine wears in the X-Men movies is way up there.
Okay, but so which costume? The one from like the first three movies where it's like the black leather with the X, or the one from like Days of Future Past where it's like a futuristic armor?
Well, I haven't really seen him in Days of Future Past, but I really like the one that the pop of yours was. I even at some point made a Lego custom of that costume.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, so that would be the costume that he wears in like the first movie. Because in the second movie, I don't think he ever actually has an X-Men costume on. He's mostly just Logan the whole time. And then in the third movie, kind of the same thing. So yeah, probably just that first movie. I like those costumes. Like, they're not the best. You know, I'm not a big fan of like, they're all wearing like black leather and stuff, but like, you know, it was a cool design, cool little change of pace for that brief period in time. Nice. Okay. So X-Men movie costume as your number three favorite Wolverine costume. What then would be your second favorite Wolverine costume?
This one is really hard to choose between brown costume Wolverine and some other one that I just forgot, so I guess I'm going with brown costume Wolverine.
All right.
Okay. So, what I like about brown costume Wolverine is that, well, it's kind of just like a change of pace. And it looks like his normal costume, which was the problem with the movie one, how it was Wolverine, but like we didn't have him wear anything that looked anything like his old costume. But this one still looks like it, and how it grew on me is I play... for some odd reason, my brain was like, Luigi's Mansion. I'm like, when was Wolverine in that? I play Lego Marvel Superheroes, and for the story, they have you wear this lame one where you're, like, kind of just like your animated costume, but you have your hood down for no reason at all. Mm-hmm. But then there's a level... where you fight Blob, and it, no matter what, unlocks you Jean's other costume, which is Phoenix, but lately I've been playing with, like, the DLC characters or whatever they're supposed to be, so I started the game off with Dark Phoenix, and I believe that you got the DLCs, too.
Yeah, I do.
So, like, so that was cool, and when you go through the level again, you can unlock the brown suit costume, and it just looks really cool, going into my dad's room and seeing the actual and seeing the digital versions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I have all the Lego Wolverine minifigures that they have out so far.
Even Mighty Mike clothes.
Yeah, all four of them, really. If you
actually, technically, you don't have all of the Wolverine costumes that have ever existed. I never gave you my movie Wolverine.
Oh, the custom, yeah. That's true. Quite true. All right, cool. So your number two favorite Wolverine costume is the brown suit. And so what is your top favorite Wolverine costume? You're thinking? You're supposed to have this stuff prepared to come on the show, man.
Well, like I said, there was one other costume that I just absolutely loved, but then I forgot mid-episode.
You forgot the costume, or you just forgot what it was called? Because you can just describe
the costume. I forgot the costume.
Oh.
It was animated Wolverine, like how he looks in the animated series.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is the classic blue and yellow costume.
Yeah, which is also what he was when you're going through the story the first time in Ultimate Alliance 3.
Very cool. Nice. I like that list, Landy. That's a good list. You got two of his main iconic looks, and then one that's really fun as well.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. So for me, for my top three Wolverine costumes, and there's lots of different Wolverine costumes out there to enjoy, but I think for me, for number three, I would probably go with the Ultimate costume. So the Ultimate costume, it's very similar to the movie one that we have. There's not a pop yet for the Ultimate costume, but I do have a mini-me of the Ultimate costume, if you remember. This is the one where it's like blue, and it's got like a yellow X up on the shoulder or on the chest, and then it's got a little bit of yellow on the sleeves.
Huh, I thought that you were talking about the like one where he has red eyes and like... it's like black and gray, which is also, I think, maybe actually my favorite costume.
So that is not his patch uniform, but that's the outfit that he wears when he's in Madripoor. So he doesn't wear his regular, you know, blue and yellow recognizable Wolverine costume because he's an incognito. So he actually dresses in just the black one with like a red belt, and he puts the black over his eyes. That's a pretty cool costume too. But yeah, I'd go with the Ultimate. I'll have to show you like my mini mate of him, because that's the costume that I like. He's actually had a few different costumes in the Ultimate Universe, but I like that one. It was kind of like a mix between like the movie, you know, the black leather movie suit, but it also still kind of pulled in some of his classic coloring scheme, the blue and the yellow and everything. And it made it pretty cool. Like, it stood out from the other Ultimate costumes, but it was still, for that era, like a really cool costume. So yeah, number three for me would be the Ultimate costume. Number two for me would have to be his X-Force costume, which is his black and gray. It looks pretty much the same as his regular like brown and tan or the blue and yellow, just a regular costume like that, only the coloring for it is black and gray, because at that point Wolverine was like the leader of what was like a mutant hit squad. Like, X-Force was going out and they were doing like the dirty work, and they were like a black ops team, infiltration and assassination, that sort of stuff. And so the costume that he wore very much reflected that mission for the team. So, you know, just his black and gray X-Force costume. Not the white and black one that he wears as leader of Uncanny X-Force, but the normal X-Force one that he wears. That's when he had like X-23 on the team and like Warpath, those guys. That's my number two favorite Wolverine costume. And for me, Landy, my number one favorite Wolverine costume has to be his retro brown and yellow suit. His name is Wolverine, right? And Wolverines in real life are like dark brown and light brown. You know, you got tan colors. So like the coloration of like an actual Wolverine that you would find in the Canadian Rockies, they're black and brown and, you know, light brown and dark brown. Like, that's what color scheme a Wolverine's pelt is. And so I like that color scheme on Wolverine.
Yeah, like that's how Jonathan, the actual Wolverine, looks.
Yeah, that's exactly the colors of his pelt. It's got a little bit of black, and then he's got like dark browns and light browns kind of flecked in here and there, like a little bit light brown on the face, a little light brown on like his little paws, and like some dark brown on his back and his tail and everything. I just like that color scheme. It's a more natural color scheme for someone like Wolverine. Like, Wolverine, who is an apex predator, right? Like, one of his greatest mutant powers, and one that often gets overlooked, is his ability to be a hunter, like his ability to stalk prey. He has great sense of smell, great sense of hearing, great sight. He's really able to get out in the wilderness and hunt, and it would make sense that he would wear his brown and tan costume, not his big bright yellow and bright blue costume. It's silly.
Sorry, it's just, you mentioned how he has the ability to smell really good, and it made me think when I was thinking of all these superhero weaknesses, because Teen Titans Go mentioned that every hero has one. And I was like, what's Wolverine's? Oh, yeah, if the bad guy farts.
Oh, man. Oh, Landy, it's just not an episode of Snicktoons if you're not making a fart reference, is it?
I guess.
Jeez. Well, I get lots of feedback for that. Yeah. All right. So, again, I also like the brown and tan costume, Landy, and I know it was your number two, but one of the reasons why it's number one for me is because it's kind of like the opposite of the costume that you see Sabretooth wearing. Like, if you look at Sabretooth's costume, his is like brownish orangey, and Wolverine's, the color scheme is like the inverse of that, which is perfect because they really are the inverse of one another. They have the same powers, but one of them uses those powers for good, one of them uses those powers for evil. So I kind of like it. It's a really interesting dichotomy when you compare it with Sabretooth and his costume. So yeah, I go with the brown and tan as my absolute favorite Wolverine costume. Now, is the brown and tan suit, is that one available in Ultimate Alliance 3?
I don't know the normal alt, but I believe that would probably be it, because I forget if he's like Deadpool and has like six, or if he just has two.
So let me ask you this, Landy. We did our top three Wolverine costumes. Do you have any honorable mentions? Those are an honorable mention is something that you really like, but it didn't quite make the list. So it would be like your fourth or fifth favorite instead.
Yeah. What were your top three again?
My top three was Ultimate, X-Force, and Brown Suit.
Oh. Well, I felt like it was probably another costume you mentioned. Or maybe I was thinking of, well, I really like his AOA costume. Mm. Also, something that I felt like was weird, though, was because in Ultimate Alliance 3, I actually have more X-Men-y memories in Asgard than I have in Xavier Institute. Because if it weren't for my X-Men team, and it's not like they were strong, so I beat it. It was, if it weren't for Iceman, then I wouldn't have been able to get through the story.
Nice. So an X-Men character helps you beat story mode. So I like hearing that. That was like the one thing that I didn't like about Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2 is that there were no X-Men characters. And when they first had originally announced Ultimate Alliance 3, it looked like it was going to be that same thing where there weren't going to be like any X-Men. And then I think eventually they revealed like, oh no, if you play through story, there's like, you get three X-Men characters, and it was like Wolverine and Storm and Iceman or something like that.
No, you get four. That's Psylocke.
Okay.
You also get Nightcrawler. Ooh. Storm, who you actually get in, which you pointed out, but which at some point I asked you about it, and I think it's cool that they put her in this. You actually unlock her at Wakanda, because you said in one of the storylines, Simoes, Black Panther.
Right.
And then you start off the game with all right, Wolverine, and if you complete like things in Infinity, which is like challenges, like challenge mode pretty much, where it's like defeat Kingpin, like a level 5 Kingpin or something like that, you can actually unlock Magneto.
Ooh, very cool. Yeah, I just like that they ended up putting so many X-Men into that game, because it just originally, when it was first announced, it sounded like there weren't going to be many. But anyway, I was asking you, Landy, if you had any like Wolverine honorable mentions, and I think you mentioned Age of Apocalypse. So for me, my honorable mention suit is Patch.
Snicked. Talking. Snicked.
I don't know where that came from.
I don't know.
It's a patch, and you're doing the Guts song. That's awesome. Oh, man, what a great show. Anyway, my honorable mention is Patch. I just love the idea of Wolverine wearing, like, slacks and, like, real nice clothes and, like, a fancy white jacket and an eye patch and just hanging out at the Princess Bar. I've always loved the stories from Wolverine Volume 2 that took place in Madripoor, specifically because we got to see Wolverine as Patch. So yeah, Patch is my honorable mention. So we did our top three, Landy, of Wolverine costumes, but I know that we also have a few favorite costumes of a few other characters. So why don't you tell us your favorite? Let's pick three other characters, and why don't you tell me your favorite costume of each of them, and then I'll tell you my favorite costume for those characters as well.
Okay, well, first, I didn't really do it, but I was thinking about putting one of my honorable mentions as, well, Pat.
Nice.
Because the pops were really rad.
Yeah.
So I think my favorite costume of all of the X-Men is I think I know that this is gonna be a big surprise, so. Just wait in 10 seconds?
No, just say it.
Okay. Age of Apocalypse, Colossus.
Ooh.
But usually I don't have him on my team in Ultimate Alliance, because sadly, some of the bad guys wore like blue bandanas and stuff. That's pretty much just the exact same thing that Colossus was. So I don't want to be like, and start hitting Colossus. And then all my characters die because I was trying to beat Colossus up, but I can't even damage him.
Yeah. Nice. All right. So your favorite Colossus costume is Age of Apocalypse Colossus.
Yeah.
Nice. That's a really great costume. I really like in X-Men Legends 2 that we have on our GameCube. After you get far enough in the storyline, Apocalypse takes over like New York and kind of makes an Age of Apocalypse like in the present day. And at that point, you can actually start unlocking all these Age of Apocalypse costumes for all the characters that you have. And of course, Age of Apocalypse Colossus is one of the costumes that you can get for him. Same thing with like Cyclops and Jean and Wolverine and like Nightcrawler and Storm and Rogue and Magneto. And like, I think my personal favorite Age of Apocalypse costume, Sunfire. But if I had to pick a favorite Colossus costume, it's probably, and I know this might sound weird that it's not like just his main costume, I'd probably go with the Ultimate costume. I thought that actually like Ultimate Colossus, like without the striation marks and his arms and everything, just like smooth organic steel skin. And I just thought that costume looked really cool for Colossus. So I would go with the Ultimate costume for Colossus. So pick another character and tell me your favorite costume that they wear.
Cyclops, astonishing.
Nice. Astonishing Cyclops. Cyclops, yeah, like he's had so many great costumes. I'd probably just go with his like regular 70s costume, which is very similar to the Astonishing costume. But the Astonishing costume is like a little bit more militant. It has, you know, a few more pouches. He's a little bit more Liefeldian in that it has like some pouches and stuff on there. But I really do like the lines that come down. It's really great. Like, I love the Astonishing X-Men run from Whedon and Cassidy, and Astonishing Cyclops is really fantastic. But yeah, I think I would probably just go with like the 70s one, which is like his normal blue suit that like even go, well, no, I would go with 90s Cyclops.
Okay. So
final answer, 90s Cyclops, final answer. Pick one more character and tell me your favorite costume that they wear.
My mind keeps on being like, oh, come on already. Just choose Wolverine Raph, because I've been thinking about, like, if we did, like, Marvel TMNT mix, I've been, like, Venomize Raph at some point. Maybe, maybe mix Wolverine with Raph.
Oh, wow.
But anyway,
You want me to pick a character?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go with Storm. What is your favorite Storm costume?
Because you pointed out someday when you were watching it, like, the one random, you know, in a Return of Juggernaut, how at some point Storm just appears wearing some random costume that you never see her wearing before?
Yeah.
I feel like that costume actually looked really good on her.
Yeah, it was like green and gold, and like as an Oakland A's fan, like I like those I like those colors together. But yeah, it was a really cool costume, and I'm like, man, I wish like she would have been in this costume a whole lot more. But like, you know, Rogue kind of had dibs on like green and yellow, so they kind of went with took Storm back out of that one. But yeah, I really liked that design. Like, I don't know, I don't usually spend a whole lot of time thinking about like the costumes and stuff. But yeah, I really like that look. So that's a good choice, Landy. I'd probably just go with her original costume that she wears in Giant Size X-Men and throughout like the first, you know, 20 or 30 issues that she's in, just her regular, like, it's the black costume. And then she's got like the, like, it's not really a cape, but it's like attached at her wrist and like attached to her waist. And it kind of has like a cape like feel to it, but it's not quite a cape, you know? And then she has like her little, not necessarily like a crown or a tiara, but like just that thing that she wears on the top of her head, that like contrasts with her white hair. I'd probably just go with that costume.
Yeah. Also, I think it's funny because later on this episode, it's showing like all the Void Force like costumes of the X-Men, and it shows Storm, but she like forced to put in the exact same costume. So I realized that they just, I guess, like hired somebody else to draw Storm, so she still looks like she did back then, but she just doesn't look anything alike with the other characters.
Yeah. Yeah, well, when we get to that part in the episode too, we can call that out as well and be like, hey, remember that we were talking about it earlier in the episode? All right, Landy, well, that was a fun conversation about some of our favorite X-Men and some of their, you know, our favorite costumes of theirs. Let's see, is there anything else you've been up to X-Men related? Maybe something that you read recently?
Well, just when we talk about all these X-Men, I was thinking about something. Oh, yeah, I was thinking about Storm, and then it made me think about her son, which reminded me another X-Men thing I've been up to since the last time I was on was I've been thinking about how you could redo Incredibles to be X-Men characters.
Yeah.
Nice. Like, Mr. Incredible would be Colossus and Frozone would be Iceman. And because technically in the MCU, they're going to make Miss Marvel a mutant. You can make her Elastigirl.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. And so you were thinking Storm's son, Mijnari, as Dash?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
the
cool.
The first thing I was going to do, Dash and Violet as Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, but I felt like that doesn't exactly make sense because they're brother and sister still, but which is why one of the good reasons, but at the same time, those it's a bad reason because they're also the son and daughter of Magneto.
Yeah.
Anyway, my brother Max was... I was like, what did I do as Jack? And Maxon's like, Baby Legion.
Oh, yeah. Oh, nice. I like that. That's cool. Baby Legion. Because of all the different powers and everything. Yeah. Nice. Okay, cool. Well, I was hinting at something because there's something that we did recently, you and I did together recently, that was X-Men related.
You were hinting at, like, did you read anything? Because we were reading X-Factor, and you said that you didn't start sending out your emails to be like, I wiped the table or something like that from an evil individual.
Yeah, you thought that was pretty funny. That someone would send a Quicksilver to send a postcard to Quicksilver. And say, like, I've turned your powers against you from an evil individual.
You could have just said, like, in fact, you didn't even have to say from anybody. If you didn't want him to know who he was, then he said it just not even written from.
Yeah.
Because evil individual, I know how not hinting it does, but, like, they have some bad guys that are, like, made of machines. So, like, that tells you that it's not one of the machine bad guys.
Yep. I like that. I want to write a comic book now where, like, the main bad guy is just called evil individual.
So maybe his origin story would be he's like a nobody, so his superpower is that like like he can shoot lasers at someone, and if it hits them, like he shoots it at Wolverine, but then Wolverine becomes like just an average person, so he doesn't have like claws anymore.
Oh.
So pretty much his power is he can take away other superpowers.
Interesting. I like that.
And his name is the Evil Individual.
Yeah. No, there's a character like that in X-Men that we don't see very often named Leech. He was one of the Morlocks. So we've seen him in the cartoon a couple of times, but we used to see him in the comic book a lot more frequently, particularly in early X-Factor. Not the new team that I'm covering right now, but the original team, they found him and like kind of took him in and all that. And his power is if you were like within his presence, that he would like suppress your mutant ability.
Oh, so like they kick him off the team because every time that they fight with him, they don't have powers.
Well, I don't think they kick him off the team. He's a little kid. He's like 7 or 8 years old.
Okay, because I was just thinking like, so they kick him off the team because they can't be superheroes with him around.
I think in the cartoon, it's not quite, it's not like within his presence. Like, I think he actually has to choose to use his power against you that would then turn your like mutant powers off. Because in the cartoon or in the comic, the way he would talk to Artie, like his best friend, is like Artie's mutant power is that he could like make you see his thoughts. And so he like communicated in pictures because he didn't really know how to talk. So he'd like communicate with you in pictures. A really, really interesting way of like showing a mutant ability. But he was able to do that like even when Leech was around. So I think in the comics and what we've seen in the cartoon is like Leech chooses to like turn your powers off, but in the, there's a scene,
yeah, because like in the We Wish You a Morlock Christmas or Merry Morlock Christmas, man, that's a tongue twister.
Yeah.
Like all the X-Men are there in his presence, but like their powers aren't turned off, as when the X-Men are against them, their powers were turned off.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say in X3, there's a character named Leech. And his power is to, like, if you're just in his presence, he just suppresses your mutant genes automatically. It's not like he's not doing it on purpose, but he's kind of, I think, yeah, he's supposed to be Leech. Anyway, so I think that's it, Landy. You mentioned now that we're reading through X Factor together, so that's fun. Because I've been rereading it a lot as I do my coverage in Talkin' GC, the X Factor show that I'm doing every Wednesday this month. But like as I was going through and rereading those, I remember how much you enjoyed the episode that we watched last time called Comfort, where the X Factor showed up. So I figured you'd have a good time reading that.
Yeah, I think it's funny how they're like, hey, you must be the strong guy. What's your name? Strong guy. You can't call yourself that. Really, shorty? No.
Yeah, you're having a good time with all the jokes and all the silly humor. Cool. Well, Landy, I think that covers it then, man, for our main part. Are you ready to watch this episode?
Yes, I've been waiting.
All right, let's do it. All right, so for today's episode, we are going to be watching and doing live commentary for X-Men the Animated Series, Season 4, Episode 5, Xavier Remembers. Now, what's cool about this episode, Landy, is this is the 50th episode of X-Men the Animated Series, although this is only the 49th episode of Saturday Morning Snicktoons, but still pretty cool. We're 50 episodes through, so we're just about two-thirds of the way done with X-Men the Animated Series, so that's pretty exciting. This episode, it originally aired on April 27th, 1996, and it appears out of order on the DVDs. So if you're watching on DVD or if you're watching on like iTunes or somewhere like that, this would actually be like episode 61, but it's actually episode 50 of the show. and it was written by Stephanie Matheson. Of course, we have story edits from Eric Lewald, and of course, directed by Larry Houston. So like I said, we are going to be watching this one live and doing commentary, and we will be pressing play here shortly.
On the X-Men movie?
Get some sound. All right. So we will be pressing play in 3, 2, 1, go.
Why is it so quiet?
Well, we don't want it to be too loud. There we go. How's that?
Yeah.
Nice. Which, so of all these opening sequences, Landy, which one's your favorite?
I know it's Wood because it's not even close to my favorite X-Man,
mm-hmm.
but I think that of all of the ones, I think that my favorite is when Stormfrost is shown.
Oh, yeah? Nice.
Oh, when Wolverine does his, claw thing.
Yeah, that one's cool. There's an action figure. That's a really expensive action figure. And it was done by a company called, I think, Mafex.
Is he doing that?
And it's the animated series action figure. And it actually has the little attachment. So you can put him in that pose and attach it to the claws. And it makes like the shock sounds. All right. Xavier remembers. I got to say, I love Xavier's purple sheets that he's got in his big fancy bed.
Yeah, he's really manly.
They look like very silk, you know, very silky or very velvety sheet. Either way, super soft, probably very fun to sleep in, but not what I expected from Xavier.
Yeah, I expected green and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so what do you think this whole thing is that's opening up in the sky? There's like lightning coming out. Is this, I like the Scooby-Doo hallway. Right here, we're getting the Scooby-Doo shot. Everyone comes out. Everyone's in their jammies.
And then Cyclops runs out full costume. And all I think is, a pony Spider-Man when he gets the symbiote on. Has he ever seen Spider-Man movies? Who wants symbiote Cyclops to happen?
Yeah. Well, I think Cyclops just sleeps in his uniform. That's my guess. That's why everyone comes like running out of their bedroom in their pajamas. And then Cyclops comes running down the hall and he's in full costume.
I mean, it makes sense that he would wear his visor to the bed.
Yeah. All right, so Sabretooth. I love Sabretooth. He's such a great villain.
And I realized that in this part, he's got like yellow eyes instead of white.
All right, so I feel like we should at least try to explain what's going on. Like, there's this weird thing that opened up in the sky, and then all of the X-Men run outside, and they all seem to be like going up against their biggest fears, right? Like Wolverine's going up against the Tooth. We got Storm is like the ceiling or the sky is like closing in on her and like getting her claustrophobia. We got Jubilee going up against a Sentinel. Do you have any idea what's going? Cyclops's like worst nightmare is that Mr. Sinister would kidnap Jean. Like, it looks like this is like Xavier's having a bad dream. Like, is that what you're getting out of this, Landy?
Yeah, kind of. But I feel like when they're going back through, it's funny because it just looks like Storm's just flying into the thing.
Like into a shadow. Okay, so Xavier's in a coma, I guess, right here. He's like asleep in a bed, and you got Beast and Jean. They're like not doing experiments, but they're like monitoring his vital signs and such. So, yeah, okay. So his mind is telling him that he's hurt, and so they have him like sedated. I like this look. It's the of the five original X-Men, it's the three that are on the team. We got Beast and Cyclops and Jean talking about Xavier.
Then it's constipated.
Yeah. All right, so he seems to be having nightmares again. Clearly, this is like a flashback because everything's blue. Everyone's blue. The trees are blue. The sky is blue. The grass is blue. Yeah,
he's like, this one's in real. And I'm like, a way to tell is that everything except for you is blue.
Yeah. He's like, he sees his mom here and he's like talking to his mom.
And they're kind of just like in the park.
Yeah.
And for some odd reason, we're about to see the park as a pool.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the park, but it's probably maybe just the Xavier Mansion, like, grounds, you know? Because it's technically, it's a school, so they might have their own, like, sports fields. Yeah, well, you know, the playground is for, like, little kids. This is for, like, teenagers and older. So you'd have like a pool, maybe like some tennis courts, like a track.
And some kids at the Xavier Institute.
Yeah, Jubilee's there and she's like 16 or something. And like all the X-Men are here telling him to go. And then he has this weird scene where like he's surrounded by all these different teams, like X-Men and X-Factor. Yeah, which we're reading.
It's pretty funny, actually.
Yeah, we'll have to read some more. You're what, three issues? We're three issues in, I think?
Yeah. Nice. Because, like, it was, like, just you meet all of them, and then it was, like, multiple madness.
Mm-hmm.
And then now on the one wall, the multiple men are like, we hate multiple men.
Oh, yeah, they're all fighting each other, yeah. All right, so it looks like Cyclops and Beast have convinced Jean to try to, like, enter Xavier's mind and, like, kind of make contact with him on the astral plane. So we're seeing, like, Xavier's mind just, like, flying through the... I love how the astral plane is just space. So he's hearing Jean, but, like, he just heard, like, a different voice. So he heard Jean, but then he heard someone else saying, like, come to me. Oh, it's the Shadow King. Okay. Okay, so Landy, this part right here, this is awesome. This is from Uncanny X-Men 118. So this is the issue where Xavier tells the story of like when he first meets Amal Farouk and realizes that there are bad mutants as well as good mutants. But it also has a flashback where he's pickpocketed by Storm when she's a kid. And so they're actually like adapting that sequence here again. I feel like this isn't the first time we've seen this in this series, but maybe I'm misremembering. But I feel like we've had something similar to this before.
Also, for some odd reason, like I remember this episode really good. So Dad was like, I forget who's the bad guy in this one. Again, like it's Shadow King, remember? And like Storm stealing from him. Like I remember everything from this episode.
Yeah, they should rename this episode Landy Remembers. Yeah. All right, so Xavier was pickpocketed by Storm, right? And he follows her to this area and he hears someone talking in his mind from like a restaurant. So he goes into the restaurant and he's like, now he's face to face with Amal Farouk. And Amal Farouk's like, hey, you know, you've got powers like me. We should team up and like, you know, steal from humans because humans are less, they're worth less than nothing. And so now we're getting like their first astral battle. Xavier's astral form like enters Farouk and then it like takes Farouk's form. And so now they're like wrestling each other on the astral plane.
For some reason they become like a kaiju fight.
Yeah, just like floating in space. Two Godzillas just floating around in space, hitting each other.
Apparently, at some point, they did a TV show that was... They did like a kid cartoon for Godzilla, and he had like a sun and shot lasers out of his eyes for some odd reason.
Nice. Godzilla Clops. Yeah, so here's where he's realizing that there are bad mutants, and that's kind of where his dream came from. And so it gave us a flash of like Apocalypse and Sinister and Magneto. So, you know, the main evil mutant bad guys that the X-Men go up against. It's pretty cool.
And then he tastes.
Ooh, that's cool.
Kid Storm, who then serves him, and then apparently all of a sudden he turns into all the X-Men.
Yeah. We're saying it like it made him remember his dream or something like that. So it shows like the five original X-Men in their original suits. You got debut Wolverine in his debut suit with the whiskers. We got like original Storm was pretty cool.
And then we get all the moderns.
Yeah, I like that they included Archangel in the lineup.
I like there are no more X-Men because we took away like five of like the 18 billion.
Dang. All right, so I'm kind of having a hard time following this. Maybe it's because we're talking over it. But like, is this the flashback astral plane battle, or are we now in like the modern day?
We're in the modern day.
Okay. I was going to say, I think I missed something there. All right. So now we're seeing, okay. Yeah. Cause here we are, we're checking back in with Xavier in his bed and the X-Men, you know, Beast and Cyclops and Jean are here. They're like yelling at him and everything. Cause they're like, how dare you be in a coma? Like it's his fault. They're like all yelling at his unconscious body. That's nice.
You can tell him, me and Dad are kind of pits meeting this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, and then all of a sudden, Storm turns into all the X-Men.
Yeah, and they're like, waking up Xavier, that sounds like it would be really hard. And then Ryan George pops in and he's like, no, it's going to be super easy. Barely an inconvenience. He just wakes up.
And then the other guy comes in and he's like, oh, just waking up out of nowhere is tight.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so I like this part because it's kind of showing like the astral form of the Shadow King. And instead of being like that weird little like disembodied head that kind of floats around, he's like this outline of like it still looks like Shadow King, but he's wearing like armor and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of like Shredder.
Shredder, nice. I wasn't thinking of that. I was just thinking like some sort of like a ninja samurai type deal, you know, but Shredder is perfect. Nice. I like it. Shredder King. Oh, there's Storm's area where she keeps all of her plants. Oh, yeah, she's sleeping. I like Wolverine's sleeping, and he's just like halfway off the bed. Looks like Jubilee's got the same sheets that Xavier has. And now Wolverine's got a blanket on him that he didn't have previously. And then he trips getting out of his bed. Yeah, and he trips getting out of his bed.
And then for some odd reason, Sabretooth's still, and there's just a crack in the wall.
Yeah, it's almost like the dreams that Xavier was having, now he's projecting those dreams into the X-Men. Because, like, now Storm's on her bed, but then, like, the ceiling is caving in. Yeah, she's getting flashes of Shadow King. So it almost seems like Xavier kind of wakes up from his like little coma thing that he's in, but the Shadow King has taken over. And so now he's making the other X-Men actually hallucinate the bad dreams that Xavier was having at the beginning. Is that what you're thinking? That's what I'm thinking.
Because like Sabretooth's eyes are yellow again.
Yeah. Yeah, and like Cyclops is calling him on the intercom system.
Which for some odd reason has wires to the wall, but then it comes off and there's no wires to the wall.
That's funny. I didn't even notice that. I thought you were like, there's wires in the wall. That's ridiculous. And I was going to have to explain to you that when I was your age and they had systems like that, you know, this is before everybody had a cell phone and all that. There were like rich people in their houses had like intercom systems and they had to all be wired to each other. Yeah, so the Shadow King has definitely taken over Xavier because now he's still in the like infirmary and he's like hovering like the Shrexorcist, like Pinocchio and the Shrexorcist.
Yeah, that part was funny. The strings are hovering him up and he's like, this would never happen with sock puppets.
Yeah.
And then for some odd reason, Storm was just awakened them to, and then it goes away, and he's like, oh, okay, we're going to bed now?
Yeah, the nightmares are over. Get back to sleep. All right, so yeah, Shadow King's definitely in control of Xavier's body now, because he's telling him, like, for 20 years I've been in the astral plane, dag nabbit, and I'm taking over this bald guy.
They were not dreams. The Shadow King has been attacking our minds.
Boom. See, Storm figures it out. I love Storm. She's so cool. She just walks in. She's like, it's the frickin' Shadow King.
What's Storm's superhero weakness?
She's claustrophobic.
Oh. Oh yeah, as telling Dad, that's words. He's just kind of like doing it, and then all of a sudden he stops and is just smiling and is just like, Professor.
Yeah. All right, so Xavier's in this weird prison thing in his mind, but Jean has re-entered the astral plane, so she's coming to rescue him. It almost looks like his prison is like two fists, like holding, you know? They're joining their minds together so they can break out of the prison.
Oh, yeah, this part's funny. Yeah. Wolverine's just like... He's just like, I'm gonna just destroy him now! And he's like, are you crazy? Just put them away!
Well, he says it all exasperated, too. Like, why would you even think that? Like, just put them away. Again, with the claws. They're always popping the claws, man. He's like, he's just completely nonplussed about Logan popping his claws for the bazillionth time.
He's like, just stop popping those claws. Pop them 18 times an episode, and it's episode 50.
Yeah, really? Well, how many would that be? 18 times per episode, 50 episodes?
Dad, don't make math ruin the X-Men.
Well, you were good at math, man. You're great ahead.
Yeah, but do I really have to perform math?
Yes, do it in your head. 50 times 18 and then tell me the answer. I like Shredder Shadow King. He's rad. He's really cool looking. Very scary looking.
900?
I don't know.
What do you make me do? Oh yeah, and then upon me, it's also Red Lantern Sweater. Wait, Red Lantern Sweater.
Nice.
And then you see the other. And then you see Jean and like...
Xavier.
And they look stupid.
Yeah.
Like, how... What's Jean supposed to be?
She's got like a samurai suit on, and he's got like a fencing suit, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
And now they've got some... now they got a lightsaber duel.
Yeah,
going
and all of a sudden that's now all of a sudden they look different, and now it's like Darth Vader. What if they did Apocalypse? Becomes, what if we mixed Apocalypse and Anti-Monitor? In your thing?
Yes, Landy, it was 900. I just did my calculator and you had it right. Good job. All right, so they're having this like lightsaber battle in the astral plane, and then like a whirlpool of astral power opens up, and they've like knocked the Shadow King into this weird like vortex thing, and it's like sucking him into it. But then he grabs onto Jean's leg, and so now they're like playing tug of war with Jean.
I'm like, stop, you don't want one, dude. And he's like, it's not a teddy ball.
Yeah.
Stop acting like I'm doing a whipple.
Yeah. No, but they're able to get free, and this weird like astral vortex thing sucks the Shadow King into it and disappears. And so like that's it. The battle is won. Day has been saved. And Xavier's like, time to go home. The weird hole in the sky shuts, and it's a beautiful sunny sunrise and
Shadow
all that.
Shadow King rises to that's a funny thing. So it's like, I was thinking X-Men and Teen Titans crossover. I know it's weird, but...
You know, they did like a crossover in, like, The two comics crossed over in like the 80s.
Teen Titans Go and X-Men?
No, just regular Teen Titans. I think it was like the new Teen Titans and X-Men. So that was the Teen Titans. It was like Nightwing or Robin's Nightwing now, and like Cyborg's on the team, and Raven, I think. It's not the original five Teen Titans. It was like after they became the Titans, like Changelings on the team and all that. They actually crossed over with the X-Men.
Okay, cool. Well, I thought Teen Titans Go mixes, and what if it's like Brother Blood Rises for absolutely no reason other than Tulum's got someone's dead.
Yeah. Boom. All right. Well, that was it. That was the end of the episode. Jean and Xavier wake up and they're all happy that they're still alive and all that. Nice. All right. So Landy, as we're going through the end credits here, we'll just turn it off. So that was Xavier Remembers. Did you like that episode?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was your favorite part?
The lightsaber duel.
The lightsaber duel, yeah. Whose lightsaber duel is better? Xavier and Shadow King's or
Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader's?
Ooh, Luke and Vader. Which one? Luke and Vader in Cloud City or Luke and Vader in the Death Star 2?
I talk about Xavier or Cloud City.
Yeah.
Xavier, because in Cloud City it's just sad.
Yeah. Luke looks kind of like a dingus by the end of that one, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. The lightsaber duel. I liked seeing the two like teams of X-Men in their original costumes. I noticed that that one scene where he like looks and he sees the team in their costumes, it like flashes back to the original X-Men going through like the original Danger Room, and the four dudes, well, they don't even show Angel, right? They just show Cyclops, Beast, and Iceman.
Wait, wasn't Angel like in that? Because they're like the, because there was like the thing like that, and then Angel flies through it.
Does he?
Like,
okay, good. Yeah.
In like a split second.
Nice. So it's got the four dudes, and they are wearing like the original costumes that they wore in like Uncanny X-Men number one. But Jean, for whatever reason, she's wearing her 90s costume.
Yes, he's just wearing like modern day costume, and it's like, what's this?
Yeah, wearing her regular TV, her regular cartoon show costume, 90s one, the blue and yellow with all the pouches. Yeah, it was cool. I liked seeing the like the debut costume of Wolverine, and then also like the giant size X-Men costume for Storm, since that's the one that I said is like my favorite of her costumes. So it was cool to see that one.
Isn't it kind of weird how, like, because it's all that Beast has as his costume, he just has, like, this belt that has no pouches, and yet pretty much the only thing that Jean Grey has on her suit is pouches or whatever they're called. I literally forgot mid-sentence.
Pouches?
Pouches.
Yeah. Yeah, we call them pouches. All the X-Men in the 90s had lots of pouches, but I think if you take all the pouches on all the X-Men characters and compared those to like the number of pouches that like Cable has, or maybe Shatterstar, and Cable and or Shatterstar probably have more pouches than the rest of the X-Universe combined.
The rest of the X-Universe combined?
Yeah.
Yikes.
All right, man. Well, so that was that. That is X-Men the Animated Series, Season 4, Episode 5, Xavier Remembers. Landy, we'll definitely have to have you back on even at least one more time, probably more in the next 25, 26 episodes. But I just want to say thanks for coming on, and I had a lot of fun talking X-Men and watching an episode with you.
I had a lot of fun, too. Now let's do the next steps. I'm just gonna... Yeah.
So, Bub, there you have it. that does it for my conversation with my son Landy, as well as our live commentary on the X-Men, the animated series episode, Xavier Remembers. That is a big one of his favorite episodes, and I always like seeing all the various costumes and whatnot. As you can see, that kind of informed our first half discussion. So there you go. And of course, it's not really a Landy episode if he doesn't reference farts, because what else is a little boy going to do on a podcast? So yeah, I had a lot of fun bringing him back. Like I had mentioned, he is a oft requested co-host. So it's always fun bringing him on. He's such a sweet little guy, and he makes for a great co-host. So, Bub, if you like the show and want to keep the conversation going, you can find me on, well, nowhere. You can reach out to me via email, talksnicked@gmail.com. Of course, you can always join the Talkin' Snicked Discord and come hang out and talk Wolverine and X-Men. X-Men cartoons, toys, comics, you know, whatever you're into that's an X-Men thing or Wolverine thing, you can join the Discord and come talk about it. It's a small community, but growing, and we're just having a lot of fun over there. So make sure you check the show notes and join that Discord soon. As for announcements, don't really have any. Just keep looking for every Wednesday for the rest of the month. I think by the time you're listening to this, that there should be at least three more Wednesdays, which means three more episodes of Talkin' GC, the X Factor show, where we take a look back at Peter David's initial run of the 1990s genetically challenged team of X Factor. It's a lot of fun. One of my all-time favorite X-Men runs, even if it is short-lived, less than, you know, 20 issues, give or take, plus a couple annuals. So really short run and super overlooked. It's just a great, great comic. The artwork from Larry Stroman is super underrated. So if you ever read that series and had a good time and you're not listening to Talkin' GC, then make sure you start tuning in on Wednesdays for the rest of the month. As for Saturday morning Snicktoons, look for a couple more episodes coming. One of them should, at least one more of them should be a solo episode. And then one more, I'm looking at bringing back my other son, Maxton, to help co-host one as well. And then we'll get back into our normal guest hosting routine with at least one new face. I'm pretty excited. This is a guy that I've been on a podcast with before. We actually got to co-headline the Hawkeye Roundtable on my buddy Brett Scott's podcast, Marvel Plus. So I don't want to spoil anything yet, but look for that. I want to say it's like three or four episodes from now, and this guy will be coming on. So I'm super excited to have a brand new guest host on Snicktoons for the first time in a long time. And then I'm working on getting a couple returning special guests scheduled for the rest of season four. So look for episodes to continue coming out for episode four uninterrupted every Saturday for the foreseeable future. As always, until next time, Bub.